Good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day the Lord has made. What a glorious day. There's no other day I'd rather be alive in than this April the 18th, 2023. This is tax day in 2023. Are you excited for tax day, Josh? Did you wake up and say, praise God, it's tax day?
No, actually, I woke up and praised God, it's my mom and dad's anniversary today.
Well, okay.
Tim and Betty Milburn. I don't know if everybody knows who my mom and dad is, but we may say that a few times throughout the
Happy program. Anniversary. That's is there an time. Anniversary song?
I don't know. I'm sure if there is, you'd be able to find it, brother.
I'll find it. I don't know. Like, there needs to be an anniversary song.
43 years today. 43 years. So they was married in 1980. So way back just a few years ago. So.
You anyway. Better watch how many way backs you use.
I hear you. Any more, that ain't too way back, because I was born in 81, so.
You better watch your way backs.
I hear you.
No, so. God is doing great things in the earth. Did Pastor Billy go over to Western Kentucky last
night?
They
actually went last night and took two carloads full of people last night. So.
Two carloads?
Wow. Yeah, of course, I didn't go. Or not. We had to meet with a few people last night, but I didn't go, but Brother Billy, he took his truck and had a vehicle load. Then I think Sister Nancy took a few ladies from the church, too. So I think they went down there last night. And so I don't know what time. Sometimes I stay up long enough to see them go back down the hill, but I didn't see them last night. So anyway, but they, I guess, had a great time again last night.
Well, praise the Lord. I know God's doing great things over there. I hear a lot of the testimonies and the reports from all that. So
yeah,
that's awesome. So, Miss Hannah, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for this prayer starting this morning with the ladies.
That's Amen. Awesome.
10 o'clock, correct?
Yep, 10 to 11.
10 o'clock, correct?
Yes.
All right. Sorry, my board in here, I had to jump into here, and I'm not accustomed to this yet. I got to get back in the groove.
I was going
to
say, you're touching all kinds of buttons in there, bro.
Yeah, well, we are.
We got new mics, though.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to do some mixing and gain structure as I talk. And I'm a man, and we don't do multitasking very well.
I hear you.
it's not in our DNA, Brother Josh.
That's right.
What is in our DNA is cheesecake and steak and chicken strips and all that good stuff.
Yep.
Amen. Let's see here. One listener said happy anniversary. They sing happy anniversary like they do happy birthday.
I hear you.
Could you do that? Happy anniversary to you.
You done it pretty good.
You could.
It'd be a mouthful, but.
Oh, man. We may have to work on that during the break and come back and do that, right?
Oh, I asked my wife one time. I said, wife, if you want to renew your vows, and she goes, you better be careful. I may not say yes if you ask me again. I said, wife.
Oh, no.
Man, oh, man.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Well, God is doing really good things in the earth. We have a couple of good announcements coming up here. We got Man Up Ministries right around the corner. It is next Thursday, April 27th at Radiant Church at 6:30 p.m. For those who don't know where Radiant is, it is right there in Millwood. About, what would you say, four or five minutes past the high school in Litchfield, heading towards Caneyville.
Right before you get up there to that Bailey's store, I believe.
Yeah, it's Bailey's has pretty good food, too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that where Radiant is? Wasn't that where Allen's Lake used to be back years ago?
Yes, and it used to be the Calvin Ray's building at one point.
I remember as a kid, of course. I don't know. Aaron, you remember Allen's Lake or not really?
I'm not as old as you, Pastor Josh.
Well, I thought you was about the same age, but I just remember being like a 10 or 11-year-old kid.
I didn't go. I know exactly where you're. I know what's at.
But I couldn't remember. I just remember as a 10 or 11-year-old kid going there. Then not much after that, it pretty much closed down. So
yeah.
Anyway, you might not have been old enough yet.
Well, I'm just a wee little one.
Yeah.
But it is. It's going to be a good night. And that was Allen's Lake. I do know that for sure. Right there beside it.
Right there beside it.
And, of course, that's the old Calvin Ray's building. But that's going to be a great night and a great time for the men to come together. And then don't forget, today at 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, any ladies are welcome to come in for a prayer meeting that Miss Hannah and Miss Mary is going to host in the sanctuary here at Bethel Fellowship. And then we have prayer at Saturday nights too at 7.
That's awesome.
A lot of several different churches have come and participated, and we just prayed together. And then you got Coffee with Jesus. Hannah, you want to tell them about that?
Yeah, so April 29th at 4 p.m. at Mount Zion in, is it Eastview?
Westview.
Oh my gosh, I can't get it right. Westview.
She's going to get it by the time it's here.
She's going to get it by the time it's here, I'm telling you.
And so that isn't considered in Breckenridge County. On your way to Hardinsburg, because I've passed it, but I think it's still considered Breckenridge County.
Yes, oh yeah.
But it's going to be great. It's the Miss Megan Sasha's title is The God Who Sees Me, and we're really excited. It's going to be just an awesome time of fellowship, but also an awesome message. She has an awesome message prepared. I've only heard a little bit of a preview to it, but it sounds like she's walking over so many different scriptures within the Peter walking on water, but she's the Lord has revealed some new angles to that, some new revelation with that story that we kind of don't pay attention to. So
awesome.
We're excited for that, and we're excited just to see what the Lord does, because he's moved. My prayer for the last Coffee with Jesus was, Lord, if you reach at least one person, this will all be worth it. If you reach at least one, if one person gets what they came for, they get, they are transformed, changed, walking out, not the same. And little did I know that would be one of my own family members. So I felt super blessed. I was so blessed because that one person was, and I actually turned into two because her daughter got saved that night.
That's awesome.
But I have been praying for them for my whole life. And so it was just amazing. I felt humbled, and I'm just excited for the next time, because that's going to be my same prayer.
Right.
If you reach at least one person, Lord, it's all worth it. And I think that has to be our mindset sometimes.
Yep.
So I'm excited for it.
Amen. And so her heart, that's right. Amen. Because we are excited. The angels rejoice over one soul.
Yes.
And that repenteth. And
amen.
So many times, though, as maybe men and women of God and as ministers, you always say, hey, if we just affect one soul, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And but sometimes it's hard living in that too, if you're in it year after year or whatever, and you don't really see nobody ever really making even advancement,
I'm
saying, or new ones coming in. Sometimes it's kind of tough, but when someone does, man, it's just it's a blessing, and it's amazing to see new people come in.
Yeah, and you remember those moments. I remember.
Oh yeah.
I remember Pastor Aaron talking about how his journey of going into ministry, and how there it is hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard along the way, and sometimes you're like, Lord, are you sure you called me to this? Like, are you sure, Lord?
Yeah.
Because things, people aren't hanging out with me anymore. Like, I'm losing some friends. I'm losing some, people that I used to like. My whole schedule's getting changed differently, and. And yet I'm not seeing the results I want to see sometimes.
Right.
But I just love how he told me one time, he just has these certain moments where he saw, someone get saved, or someone just hugged him for like 30 minutes and just felt the love of the Father, and just wept. And,
wow.
And him knowing that person and seeing the breakthrough in them, those moments are what make it worth it.
Every single time.
That's right.
Hey, man. Ah, God is good. So that's April the 29th in Westview.
Westview.
just think of it as on your left, Hannah. Left.
That's right.
Going west.
I seem to remember we're in Western Kentucky.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. So,
but that's 4 o'clock at Mount Zion. It's going to be a great time. Coffee with Jesus. I really do feel like the Lord may be anointing something with steak with the Spirit, or steak with the Lord. Josh, would you come to that?
If
there was a men's meeting that called Steak with Jesus,
I probably would come to that. It better not be on my church night or whatever.
Well, it better not be on when you're better make sure it's not on a Sunday you're preaching homecoming either.
Hey, that pastor of that church, he'll be on with us next
Tuesday. I can't wait to ask how you did.
I know you probably ain't got no sleep thinking about all the questions you can't
oh,
wait to
Oh my
ask
goodness.
Him.
I'm gonna have to record this, so when I put together your promo for, because I'm gonna be your agent manager person for homecomings.
Man, oh man.
I'm signing up for it.
The season's coming up.
I'm hiring myself. I mean, you got that good flow from July to October. Usually is the homecoming thing. And so I'm getting busy getting you places to preach, Jason places to sing, and Todd Mingus places to dance.
There you go.
And so it's going to be a very productive, great, successful homecoming season.
Well, I just think, actually, I love your heart behind that. But actually, there's a little bit of laughter behind that, too. So I don't know whether to take you serious or not, brother.
Hey. Yeah. The laughter is a good medicine.
It does good like a medicine. That's right. That's
Miss Gail says, Coffee with Jesus is amazing. Please come. Great food, Bible study, and fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
We need to get Miss Gail to, like, record a promo for it.
Yeah.
Like, come on out to
like
Coffee
a testimony.
With Jesus.
Oh, we've already decided. So on the Aero meeting, Miss Megan was actually giving us a preview. Miss Gail was there. Renee was there. Mary was there. We were all kind of just talking about Coffee with Jesus. And I mean, when Megan started to talk about like a little snippet of her message, I mean, Miss Gail, you should have saw her face. She was like,
wow.
Oh my goodness. Like her facial expression, she was just getting so pumped up. And we were like, Miss Gail, I think you're going to have to stand up there with her while she's giving the whole message so that we can get all be as excited as you are. And she was like, I've never heard it like that before. And she was like, I might just zip my mouth so I can't interrupt anything. Cause she likes to add in, you know, at Coffee with Jesus, we do like interaction and we like conversation and, you know, people to chime in with testimonies. And, but she was like, I'll just zip my mouth so I can hear this amazing message. So it was good.
It's awesome.
Well, all righty. Is you got any other announcements, Pastor Josh, on your end?
Not on my end, brother. I don't believe so, man.
Just God is good.
God is
all
good
the time.
All the time.
And right, all the brother. Time.
God is good.
Woo, glory. Well, here, let's do that again. Let's do this. Man, come on now.
Has Roger taught you how to push buttons?
I'm in the room. I'm in the room. Hallelujah.
I can't not think of Roger now when you do.
Joey, you got competition. Jacob Swift just sent in a dad joke. I'm so good at sleeping that I can do it with my eyes closed.
We got
dad joke competition now going on.
All that going on.
I love it. All right. Well, I guess we are in John chapter 11. We finally finished John chapter 6. And let's see here.
11. Whoa.
Oh, wait a second.
Whoa. You
seven.
Went from,
we skipped
you
from,
went
six
from 6
to 11.
Wow. How'd you double almost, man?
That's just the way of
That's
the Lord.
That's why you got us in here with you to keep you lined up, man.
That's the way of the Lord. That's what happens whenever you serve the Lord. He multiplies. It's like, I think it's Luke 17 says something to the regard of that the kingdom of God starts out really small, but then grows really, really big.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I hear you.
It just started in 7 and grew to 11 very quickly. I have no idea.
Oh, man.
7-11.
It multiplied.
That's how you done it. That's right. 7-11. That's what you was thinking.
All right, let's see here. John chapter 7, verse 1. Hannah, do you want to start out reading for us?
Yeah, you just want me to keep on going until...
Just read the verse, 3 verses.
Okay. All right. So after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in... What is that word? I'm reading the King James. For he would not walk in...
Oh, Jory.
Jory.
Yeah.
Because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also might see the works that thou doest.
Yes.
Now that first Jewry there in verse 1 that she just read, that's actually Judea, right?
Yes, I think so. I think it translates.
See, because sometimes that's translated Judea, and here's what I think sometimes, Hannah, when that's it, why didn't it just say Judea?
I know, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that ain't for me to do whatever, but that's what it's, if you look that up, I'm just doing that for our listeners too and for us as well.
Yeah.
That is Judea.
Yep.
So.
And don't feel bad, Hannah. That's why I read the ESV. I can pronounce those words.
We haven't taught her yet. If you say it quickly and keep going, everybody will think you're right.
Yeah,
that's all you got to do.
True.
Say it quickly and keep going.
That works until Jason Miller's on. Then he makes sure he points every single mistake you make out of there.
I mean, it looks so close to jewelry. It's like hard not to say jewelry, but I can see
jewelry.
It's a jewelry.
All right, so here we go. All of that with Jesus just ended in John chapter 6, though. So all that feeding of 20,000 plus, people says, where that's at? Well, 5,000 plus women and children. And then he tells him these hard sayings about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And so they're like, that's a hard saying. And he said, I know. And then I'm going to tell you a harder one. You know, I'm going to go back to where I was in the beginning with the Father. Whoa, so now you just called yourself God. All the people started to leave beside the 12. One being a devil, that'd be Judas. And so now we are in that. I heard John MacArthur one time say on that chapter, he said, it's easy to have followers, but much more difficult to have disciples.
Wow.
And he says a lot of people in the church are followers and not disciples. And I thought that was very good.
That's probably a very true statement, brother.
He said, everybody wants to be followers because you just follow and get fed.
Yeah.
But when you're disciples, you get changed. Wow. And I thought that was excellent. And how many times you heard in the church, you know, well, I just don't feel like I'm being fed. Well, all you want to do is be fed. And sooner or later, you get so fat, you stop eating.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about physical or nothing. I'm just talking about spiritually because you're not doing nothing with it. You're not being a disciple.
Right.
You're just wanting to hoard up all the word. And, oh, yeah, great, good word, but it never changes you. Disciples are changed. Followers just eat.
That's good, man, because the more you actually give out, the more you want to come in because
of
the Lord. Oftentimes, I believe when he gives you something, he gives it to you to share.
Yes.
You know, and so, therefore, if we don't give it out, it's almost like, we just consume it ourselves, and it's like we feel like we shouldn't even
You neglect talk. It.
Yeah,
you end up neglecting it.
That's it.
Yeah. I really, when he was talking about the followers, there's this thing now with social media, and I'm not against, you know, like apparel, like Jesus apparel and like with scripture. Like I love it. But I do think that it has created with like the people that aren't true, you know, true disciples, it's almost created this like copycat generation of people, group of people that are like wearing these things and saying, oh yeah, I'm a Christian because it's trendy.
Right.
Because it's getting trendy
to
be a Christian and follow Jesus. It's almost like they're a fan, but they're not willing to be a part of the team.
Yeah.
They're a fan of Jesus, but they're not on the team actually playing with him, working in the kingdom.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
You know, I listened to a worship leader last night, and he was talking about something, and he was saying, you know, worship moments are really popular now. So it's like people love the worship moments. You love it whenever a worship leader in a CD goes spontaneous and, you know, does all that on the recording. And he says his fear, though, is basically we become followers of that and we never actually enter into worship.
Yeah.
And that we're just waiting for that next moment, and we live moment to moment. And really, that all started, and he actually brought this up because he knows her very well, is remember Kim Walker, How He Loves? It went blowing up on YouTube and all that because you remember she goes in that kind of spontaneous moments where she talks about the love of God. She's talking about blow, and she's weeping and crying. And he said that she was really upset when this got added to the CD because she didn't want it on there.
Wow.
Because it was an intimate moment. And it's like these what was an intimate moment now has been commercialized moments. And he said even in that, like Hannah was saying that, was like it's kind of like got my mind stirred back to that because it's like we're followers, but we're never entering. We're following, but never to be a disciple.
I see.
Yeah, and I think that goes back. The Lord has been using this scripture so much, the Matthew 25, the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise, about the oil. Like 5 had the oil and 5 didn't, and the other 5 wanted to get, and that oil is the Holy Spirit. Like they want the anointing of the other people who entered into that. But the thing is, you can't share your anointing. Like you can't just give people your anointing. You know, like you have to enter into that with the Lord yourself, enter into your own worship, enter into your own place with the Lord and deep worship. And I think that's part of it is people that are anointed and people that are capturing it on video, you know, it's almost easier to be spoon-fed by that rather than going and seeking the Lord yourself and getting, you know, just worshiping the Lord on your own. And I think people have confused, like, you know, I'm sure a lot of these people are pretty talented, and maybe music isn't your thing. Maybe singing isn't your thing, but writing, I mean, writing
is. That's what they say about me.
Writing is a form of worship. I mean, drawing, whatever's your thing, whatever way you worship the Lord, reading scripture and writing a sermon is worship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, you know, there's all kinds of spontaneous ways of worship, like intimacy with the Lord that we can have. But I think people almost don't ever enter into that because they're just captivated by other people's anointing. Yeah.
Or we, what we called, prostituted it and commercialized everything.
Yep.
And the church has to be careful not to be a commercialized corporation. Like, we're not a corporation. I don't even like to say we're an organization.
Yeah.
We're alive.
Yeah.
We're a group of people. We're the ecclesia, the called out ones with giftings. And our giftings is never to necessarily build our pocketbooks or build bigger ministries. It's to build the body.
Yeah.
And it's I have this saying all the time. We should never use people to build ministries. We use ministry to build people.
Yeah.
And I think that is a true statement, because if we're not careful, we'll try to build people and use them for only to build the ministry.
Wow.
But it's bigger than ministry. It's the kingdom.
Yeah.
And my heart is to grow the kingdom, not just grow a ministry. If the ministry God's given us the responsibility and stewardship, so you have you're co-laboring to help build Madrid right now,
right?
To minister, to labor, right. your associate pastor, correct?
Yes.
All right. So you have that responsibility. You do what God's called you to do, but it's not solely just for Madrid. It's for the kingdom. And so we all have our own houses, but we have one big family.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important. But a lot of people, their extent is to stop at their ministry. So let's build this, and that's all I'm worried about.
Yeah. I believe people have made worship too much like work instead of just focusing on Jesus and doing what it's for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they've made it into work. And therefore, and also I believe there's people that kind of, they want to be involved in your worship because you put in the work and the time for it. And they feel something out of that, and they don't want to put in the work and the time for. I mean, just like we know that something that Brother Billy's been preaching the last few weeks, probably a month, is talking about how we always think we got to have this many songs, or they better play this kind of song, or better not play this kind of song, in order for us to worship. And more or less, he said, if you always got to have a song to worship with, then more or less what I said a few months ago, your worship's broke.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, it does. It engages us in worship. Great worship songs do. But I don't necessarily got to have that song to worship Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We think that worship in itself is just a song or a service of, you know, praise and worship or whatever. But it's more than just that. It's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hannah, do you have something you want to say?
No, I was just going back to, on Wednesday we talked about how we were all created unique, and all of us, if we are, you know, experiencing freedom with the Lord, most likely we're all going to worship pretty differently. Our worship is going to look different. It's going to be different.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because that's what's beautiful about it. And I've gotten to the point, you know, as a worship leader, I almost despise getting caught up in the set list of, like, it has to be this way.
Yeah.
And I always used to, like, people used to not like that, you know, whenever I would suggest, like, oh, well, maybe we should just flow into another song last minute. Like, if the Lord gives it to us, you know, we don't need to say no. But there's some people that they can't not have the structure of what they've already planned.
Yeah.
And it's like, when the Lord wrecks your plans, then it's hard to accept it. But I love when the Lord wrecks our plans.
Amen.
Because, I mean, sometimes we don't know a need until we get somewhere. And then the Lord knows the need wherever we are. He knows the words that need to be spoken. He knows the song that needs to be sang. He knows the Spirit leads us, you know. So,
yeah. I think that that's like, I've been around worship for a long time and been a part of a lot of teams and played music for a lot of people. And I think that's a big, like, unpacking there. I think a lot of people like the four songs because it's security, and it's safety and it's comfort. And I'm not even very good at it, but to just flow from song to song, you do have to have a level of ability to it too.
Yeah. Yes.
Musically, some people can't do it. Like, some people just kind of, they'll practice those four songs all week and that's what they're used to. And that's, and I think also even in this, like, and I'm not saying that's right or not, I think that's what I've experienced with a lot of people. And I'm trying not to put them down because I don't think it is. I think it's just that level of practice and being prepared. Like, when I was playing a lot of music, I practiced. Heather practices. you know, Josh practices, we all practice, but it's not practicing so that we can be impressive to people. It's practicing so that we're prepared to go wherever the Holy Spirit takes us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that we have that moment. Like, so if he pushes us in this way, well, we're able to, because we put in the ability to actually be able to play the music.
And I know, Brother Aaron, you actually have a probably ear for music and sound and stuff. I mean, you just do. You know how to work it. You know how to do those things. But honestly, I'm going to ask you a question if it's okay. I hope it's
ask
all right.
Ask away.
But anyway,
it's what we do
as
here.
Somebody that really has an ear for that,
mm-hmm.
does it ever, like, is your mind ever too much on the practicality and the perfectness of the sound? Does that ever distract you from actually worship? Because me, I'll be honest with you, brother. I mean, sometimes when they're tuning their guitars before church, I mean, even I'll help Brother Ernie. He's got this little thing I hold right there.
Mm-hmm.
And he more or less strums his guitar to find that perfect line of where it's in tune.
Yeah.
And when he tunes it, I'll be honest with you, and I think it sounded just the same while ago. But for whatever reason, he knew it wasn't right.
Yeah.
Well, so what about that?
I think the guitar needs to be tuned, because it will be prevalent if it's not. But here's what I would say, because I've given this question a lot of thought. If you are tasked with the ministry of running sound, I don't think it should be seen as a distraction to worship. I think you're doing what God's called you to at that moment. And here's what I want to say on that is, if God's called you and put you in a position to run sound, you have, people laugh at me, you have probably the most important job in the sanctuary at that point. Because if you don't do your job right, the pastor can't do their job right. The worship team can't do their job right. Testimonies can't do their job right. Offering, anything else that happens in that sanctuary is going to be messed up because the sound guy don't have the sound right.
Yeah.
And so you are basically a worship leader at that moment, because you are making sure there's no inhibitors to worship. Now, do I think it become an idol or something? I guess you could make it to be where good sound is your God, but I don't think that's always the case. I think if you're a sound guy, I think you should be diligent on having the best sound that you possibly can, because now you're facilitating clarity. You ever been to a sermon? You ever listen to a sermon when you don't know what the pastor's actually saying because it's so muddled and so muddy, and or there's feedback going everywhere, or you can't hear them, and what happens during that sermon? That pastor has that meat for you, and you can't eat it because there's an inhibitor between you and the meat.
Yeah.
And I think that it can be inhibitor, but I don't think it should be. I don't think you have to be mesmerized the whole 2 hours or whatever it is of service, but I think you need to be diligent.
Yeah.
Because you do have a very important job.
Right.
And it's really hard for somebody who does sound and actually really enjoy doing sound. The only part of sound I don't enjoy is monitor mixes. I hate them. I think every single person should have in-ear monitors and their own ability to mix their own monitor, because it's just too much.
Lost me right there, so that's fine.
But when I go to a church and their sound is awful, I don't think nothing less of them. I just want to go, can I help? That's my heart. Can I help you? Give me 2 hours in an afternoon and we could revolutionize your sound. Wow. Like, we could do it with the equipment you've got. Like, most of the time, churches don't even need upgrade equipment. We have no idea how this is John chapter 7, but this is helping somebody. A lot of times, churches don't even have to upgrade equipment. They just got to know how to do their stuff. And so, like, the nerdy stuff of sound, gain structures, EQs, gates, compressions, all that. Most boards have most of this in there now, even the analog ones. But I'm just answering your question. When you do that, I think that if it becomes an idol, that's one thing. But if you're facilitating worship, I think you should be diligent about it.
Yeah.
Even if it for 15 minutes of the service takes away from your ability to sing with them or worship with it, I think you have a job.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes as a pastor, you know what I'm going to say. Sometimes you don't worship at moments because you're thinking through your sermon. You're reading through your word. You're trying to get there. You're preparing for what God's called you to do.
Yeah.
That doesn't take away from your worship. And I don't think you're saying, well, I wish I didn't preach because I can't worship for those 10 minutes.
Because I do, going back to what you said right there, because we've had people to come and preach at the church. And through the period of time of worship, they'll be in the Word kind of looking. It's mm-hmm. almost like they prepare for something, But during worship, it's almost like the Lord's leading them somewhere else, and they'll go and they'll open the Word up and think, all right, here I am. Now, I have done that some.
Mm-hmm.
I have. But for the most part, I try to engage myself in worship about the whole time, whatever.
Sure.
Because, listen, there is some songs, I guess, that gets me more ramped up, I guess you can say. Like, really. But I can worship Him as long as it's about Jesus. I can worship Him.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be an old gospel song, an old hymn, or a new worship song, as long as it's about, as long as it's singing to Him. Mm-hmm. Okay. As long as I'm worshiping Him to Him. So.
And that's where I was about to go is I do think that there's, you know, obviously there's a place for having a sound guy. There's a reason for that. And I think that if you're the sound person, that is your way of worship. Like that's your role in the ministry and you can put your whole soul and heart into it. And then it can just grow and all your passion will just cause it to explode and be what God wants it to be. But I think everyone else that's kind of not that sound guy, like the worship team, the congregation, the pastor, if the pastor's not already the sound guy.
I do both. I got an iPad.
But I love what you said about if the focus is on Jesus, we should be able to worship.
Yeah.
And even like, Lord, check my heart. I don't want to be condemning by say this or judgmental, but even if all the sound just dies, and we're like, I don't think that should disrupt the flow of the Holy Spirit. Like we had a storm that has like totally knocked off everything. And I get it. Like it startles you at first.
It does.
And you do maybe have to take a minute to get or a second to like, you know, okay, we're going to keep going. But I just feel like when the anointing is there, when the Spirit is moving, when all of our eyes are fixed on Jesus, if Jesus is in the room, I don't care whether the sound is coming on or going off or the lights are flickering.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole world can be burning around me. And if my eyes are focused on Jesus, just like Peter on the water, like I don't care what's going on. I'm going to keep worshiping Him and I'm going to keep focusing on Him. And I've failed at that. I have failed before. But I think when you are in the Spirit, when your flesh is dying, when you've died to your flesh, when the carnal thinking is out the window, and when you're in your spirit, man, when you're worshiping in spirit and in truth, I truly believe that nothing should be able to disrupt it.
When you talk about disruption or whatever, I'm reminded, and I know we got to get the break, I'm going to say this real quick. I'm reminded about in 2009 when Brother Frost was up at our church doing a school of ministry. And, well, anyway, the school actually, at that time, it got into a place of worship. It got into the anointing and everything. And I remember the lights going out. But we kept right on going.
Yeah.
He kept praising the Lord. And we had a guy there at church that, hey, didn't do nothing, just walked out, went to wherever he had to go to his garage there a couple miles away, just prepared himself to get the lights, you know what I'm saying, and do everything. Had everything set up so that we could have some lights. But about the time he's getting ready to put the power button on his lights, the electric come back on. It's almost like, hey, I done that for a reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's back on right now for a reason.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like you kept right on going, you kept right on pushing, even though you didn't let those things of the natural deter you from doing what I wanted you to do.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
I like that.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. If you're going to have disruption in sound, the best thing is either have no sound or sound. There is a difficulty too, though.
Yeah.
Like if you have constant feedback and people's having to hold their ears or something like that. I just think that whatever we're doing, we do it with excellence for the kingdom.
Right.
And I think that there's a great responsibility, whatever you're doing.
It is.
Whatever you're serving in, there's a great responsibility to give your whole heart to it.
Well, it's because you want to, if you're serving the Lord, I mean, you want to be, even though we don't proclaim to be perfect, but we are serving a perfect Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And He requires us to be accountable, and He requires us to be Christ-like. Well, at the end of the day, Christ-like means if you're going to be Christ-like, you're going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The blood of the Lamb has made us that old song that says flawless. I don't claim to be flawless, but because of His blood, He's made me that way.
Mm-hmm.
He's made me to be His son, and He's made me to be perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to do everything that I do, whether it be in church or whether it be working or whatever. I want to do everything as I'm doing it as to the Lord.
Yeah. And it's not to be impressive in a vain selfish, prideful way.
Right.
It's because we're of the kingdom. We're serving a perfect living Savior.
Right.
And you know, it's to me, it's if the enemy puts a lot more into it than the church sometimes does.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
Now, look, you will not find a person that is more anti-fog machine than me. I hate fog machines. I wish every fog machine broke and died in the history of the world. I don't, because I think some people use like fog machines for atmosphere and to create a setting that's not there. I don't think that's it. I mean, we got to go to break, but I think that's it. And I'm not even big on light shows. I like lights that are stationary that are just pointing down because I like stages to be bright.
Right.
You know, you don't want to look up there and like, is there even people up there? I can't see them. But I think we have to be careful that we're not entertaining. Like, I don't want to be entertaining, but I also want there to be no inhibitors to worship.
Yeah.
And if you have inhibitors, no matter what, there is this time where people are struggling to enter. People are struggling, and then we struggle to enter in. And like if you're preaching somewhere and the mic, you like say you have a monitor and you don't even hear it, you don't know if they're hearing you either. So you're screaming at the top of their lungs, you're blowing them out of the water because you don't hear yourself on stage. And I know Hannah knows what that's like as a singer. You're singing really loud because you don't hear yourself, mm-hmm. and then you're blowing everybody else out, and it could all be fixed just by decent sound. You started this, Josh, because you asked me a question about sound.
I know. I'm sorry, brother. I owe you a big apology, man.
Well, it's people think I'm OCD about sound. I've just understood this over 18 years of doing sound is just how important it is for churches. And I wish I could get churches to realize that you should not use a soundboard from 1904 and two microphones you bought from Dollar General. No offense, Dollar. I don't even know Dollar General sells microphones. You should not use microphones you bought with a karaoke machine, okay? And I'm not trying to be mean about it. It's just really true because we're of the kingdom and we're worshiping the Savior. That's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we should really have clarity. We should have it where there's no inhibitors and not entertainment.
Right.
When I mix sound or run sound or we buy equipment, it's never for entertainment's sake. It's always for the kingdom. And that I want people out there to have no inhibitors to worship.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
So, all right, it's your fault. People all say right.
I'll take it.
Everybody that's tuned out, everybody that's out of there, everybody's mad at me for talking
back.
About
we'll
buying
get on
sound.
To something else, all right.
Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. What king fatally wounded while fighting at a Hold on. What king fatally wounded while fighting the Egyptians was brought back to Jerusalem in a chariot? What king fatally wounded while fighting the Egyptians were brought back to Jerusalem in a chariot? We will be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. All righty. We are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is a day that we got nothing of John chapter 7 done. Because Josh,
hey, you're blaming it on me, and I got no idea. I was reading a few verses there right after we went to break, and I was like, "Wow, how did we get into that?"
I don't know, but you got me talking about my. I love sound. I love sound. I have no.
It's almost like me and Hannah being the students. You're like the main teacher. You know how in class you remember like getting your teacher involved in something else other than class sometimes?
Yeah.
It's almost like I accidentally done that, brother. I'm sorry.
Well, look, you know, I love to teach. And I wish that like I was taught by Bobby Hamilton. And I don't know if you remember Bobby. Hannah, you probably never met Bobby. They were worship leaders for a little bit, him and Miss Sarah. And Bobby was a Nashville producer. And he knew his stuff. He was one of the best musicians, you know, and he knew his sound. And he would meet with me on Saturday mornings for sometimes hours and just teach me. So he taught me what gates are. He taught me what compression, the threshold, the frequencies, the high-pass filters, how to mix, how to do everything, how to kick your drum, how to mix your kick drum, how to give reverb, how to give ambient noise, how to take it all. Like, he did it all. And I was just like a nerd, soaked it all in. And I just want to, like, honestly, at this point, I love when I can teach people sound because I really do know. And I know we're off the subject, but I do think that it's a very important part of the church that's overlooked, underthankful for, and underinvested in.
Right.
And a church never invests in sound equipment and then go, man, I regret that. Like, honestly, they just, it just, I've never met one to say, I regret investing in sound system. It was a waste of money.
Yeah.
Every one of them will agree that it's always worth it. And because it is, it's never about pride. It's never about arrogance. It's never about entertainment. It's all about worship and having no inhibitors to it.
Right.
And then there's times that, you know, we'll, like Hannah and y'all were talking when I come in the room a second ago during the break. There's has times that I've just had everybody killed the whole sound system and say, let's just sing a cappella and let's do it as a body of Christ together.
Yeah.
And that's just as powerful too. But just if you went back to the old reformers and your old revivalists, and even during the Great Awakenings here, ask them if they wanted a microphone with a sound system that could reach hundreds of thousands at one time, they would have said yes, because what they were doing is one person would say a word, be preaching, and then another person's preaching another 50 group of 50, and then that person's preaching to another group of 50, and it's a chain reaction.
Yeah.
So sometimes if the crowd's big enough, the person that's actually preaching could almost be done while the last group of people is just starting.
Wow.
Because of the chain reaction of the sermon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it's how they used to preach to big crowds back there, unless you had an amphitheater that could echo. And, you know, during the Great Awakenings and stuff, they didn't really have that. So they just had a bunch of people reciting, and then before long, like, the main guy's done preaching, and this last group of people down the road, they're just now hearing the first part of it.
Wow.
They kind of capture that on The Chosen, mm-hmm, show, when, like, Jesus is giving his sermons, and then the disciples have to,
yeah,
like, repeat what he's saying to the group, and then another disciple farther down has to repeat what he's saying. It's like they show that on the show.
Wow.
Yeah. All righty. Well, Josh, before we get into the good stuff of discussion and stuff, let's get into the best stuff. And that best stuff is the manna on Tuesday from Monday.
All right.
Tell me manna never lasts till the next day.
It's more than enough, brother. Manna is more than enough, man. So, yeah, I appreciate it. So here we go. Manna on Tuesday mornings. So here it is. Luke 24:32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? I don't know what your prayer has been lately, but mine has been for my heart to burn for the Lord more than it ever has. We see here in this scripture where, after Jesus had vanished out of their sights, they began to reason amongst themselves and ask each other, did our hearts not burn? So my question to you today is, your heart burning? Here's something I say a lot. I would rather burn for the Lord now than to be burning later. Don't allow your eyes to lose focus on who Jesus really is and how he wants to burn with you, within you at all times. You may say, how can that happen? It's because our God is a consuming fire and he burns continually. Hearing the verse, I believe they began to feel conviction for not really seeing him for who he was. Just as Jesus began to prove his resurrection here, and some wasn't prepared to see him, there will also be many that won't be prepared to meet him as well. People's hearts have grown so cold and they aren't as close to the Lord as they once was. So is that you this morning? The burning of your heart brings the turning of your mind. I want to speak to all of us right now and declare that our eyes always be fixed on Jesus so we can continue to experience a true relationship with our Savior. Be strong, stay strong, we strong. So, you know, so many times I believe that people should react, but they either wait and they think, well, should I have done that? And see, I believe the group of people that even, and we know we just come through Resurrection Sunday, he resurrected and then he come and he showed himself to different ones. And some, it took them realizing, hey, hang on a minute. Aren't our hearts burn? I believe that he's coming to churches and places of worship right now, even in our lives. And sometimes we think, Lord, where are you at? And it's almost like, did our not hearts burn for him to come into our life in a way like he never has before, or things that we've even prayed about for years, or maybe for whatever, and there we was on the grasp of receiving it or getting it, and therefore it didn't happen. So is that on us or what? But anyway, don't allow each and every one of us to wonder, all right, was that the Lord talking to me? Was that the Lord working on me? Was that the Lord urging me to do this or urging me to do that, but I want to burn continually all the time. I think about the every time I think about burning, I think about the song Brother Rogers sings. It says, burn in me, let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. And, you know, even here a few months ago when he's been coming to Madrid on Sunday nights and singing with us and stuff, or with the ones that sang, and that was one of the songs that he'd done one night, was Burn in Me. And, I mean, it's just, that's what I want to continue to do. I want to continue to burn for him.
Amen.
So.
Hallelujah.
I love that. The burning brings the turning. I wrote that one down.
Yep. That's awesome. Thank you, Hannah. So.
Now, I'm looking at the two on the road to Emmaus. I just read this. And doesn't it say, did our hearts not burn within us?
On that one?
Yeah.
Well, that was right after that, wasn't it?
Where was it?
Well, you're in Luke 24, ain't you?
Yeah.
All right. I was in the latter part of it, 32.
32.
That said, did our heart burn
okay,
within
so
us.
I was looking up there, yeah. And yeah. It came to pass.
But that was right after the road to Emmaus. So.
Yeah. yeah. So, and it came to pass as he sat down with them. Well, he's still talking to the two on the road to Emmaus, though, right?
Yeah, but even 25, look what he said. Jesus said in 25, O fool, slow of heart to believe that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
Mm-hmm.
And so then it would talk about after that, it said, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. And then even after they constrained him to abide with us, and after he vanished out of their sight, they said one to another, did our not heart burn within us while he talked with, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good stuff. I love it. That's what it was. I missed the very first finish of it because I was looking up because you said it started to say burn. I was like, I just went to Luke 24.
Yeah, you just went there.
Just went there, and I didn't hear you actually read Luke 24.
That's all right.
I'm sorry, Josh.
No, you was engaged. Hey, but that's what, as a minister sometimes, here's what I love to do. Like, even when I say something, and see, there's certain people within the crowd, even at Madrid, there's certain ones you know that are being distracted or just don't care, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, even in congregations, sometimes there's ones when you, but we have a group of people at Madrid that really, really care. And I know that when I say something and I see them flipping through their Bible or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I know I've struck something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the Lord's working on them, saying, hey, I know they're looking for something. They're not being distracted because the Lord has got them. Hey, it struck something in their mind. It says, all right, I got to go now because if I don't go now, I might forget about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
anyway. No, that happens to me all the time when Aaron's preaching. It's like, have you ever talked to someone and the Holy Spirit is speaking through them, through what they're saying, but you hear what they're saying, but also you hear the Lord speaking to
Amen.
You at the same time.
Amen.
That's what happens to me. It's like I can't, and that I know that's the Lord because I can't multitask on my own. I can't hear two people at the same time unless it's the Lord. But I will be hearing the preaching and I will be writing something that the Lord has given me from that.
Amen.
But even if it's in a different chapter, even if it's Google, when Aaron was preaching, I was getting science terms in my mind to explain what he was talking about.
Not because of me.
I don't know why. It was nothing he spoke, but it was from the Lord. And I don't even know. I'm not even like a huge science person, but I was like researching it about atoms and molecules, and it had scriptural like meaning behind it relating to what he was talking about. And it's just cool how the Lord works and how he gives us revelation by your revelation,
right.
Even
right.
if
That's
it's
awesome.
Different.
Yeah. Because that's how the word is. I mean, some of the scriptures that we read, we're like, man, I didn't see it that way. But when you hear somebody explain it, say, hey, here's how the Lord. Now, there's been sometimes that when others get a revelation or see a scripture, like, I don't know if it really matches up. But, I mean, there's multiple ways, and that's why I think it's so important when we read the Word of God that we open up our mind to, all right, what does he want for me today in this scripture that I've always known for years? What does he want from this today?
Yeah, I think there's twofold to that, though.
Go for it.
I think whenever, at first, we should, all right, now, if it's an essential thing, like if you're hearing a sermon and somebody says, like somebody said here one time, the blood is only symbolic, All right. That's an instant like, whoa, no.
Yeah.
All
right. Right.
But just because you hear something that doesn't sound right, don't immediately like tune it out. Like,
yeah.
Let it unpack a little bit. Let it see what's going on, because maybe I've learned this. There's been times I've like, oh, I don't know if that's right. And then they start unpacking it and they start using the scriptures. And I'm like, maybe I'm not right. But I'm not like,
you begin
I'm not
to see what's up.
I'm not tossed to and fro easily. So if you challenge me, I'm probably never going to change my mind immediately during that sermon. I'm going to go home and be in a Berean and keep thinking and keep pondering, keep looking, keep reconciling with the rest of scripture. And the second thing is, do you think, this is a very important question, do you think as a preacher, do you think those people that don't care, do you think they know we don't care? Like, do you think they know we know they don't care? Or do you think they hide it?
I would say they're trying to hide it, don't think we know.
Because we know.
I believe we do because of their action. And see,
I'm just letting you know. We know.
To be honest with you, okay, here's what I think sometimes. I remember somebody back years ago that was told to me the reason they didn't come to Madrid is because they don't feel comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And I remember saying, good. Because I don't want you to come to church to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, hey, and no knock on no big churches or nothing, okay? I mean, I consider Bethel around here, the ministry here, pretty big church. I really do. But, and I actually said this Sunday night. I said, I remember going to Bethel as a kid, teenager. And we would have this mindset, hey, I don't know if you ever heard this before, still yet. But if you got out from underneath the balcony, it's the first church. If you stayed underneath the balcony, that was called the second church. I remember as kids, man, as teenagers, us talking about, and us being like, some of us would get right up there close.
Yeah.
And say, come on up. No, I ain't going up there.
Come into the Holy Land.
The outer
for whatever
the
reason,
inner courts.
Because of why? Because sometimes we'll go to a place that will be kind of a bigger place, and you'll be more, well, maybe I can stay a little bit more hidden. But they don't know as a preacher, Brother Aaron, that actually your eyes are going everywhere throughout the service. And sometimes if you go glance out or whatever, and you see somebody that really isn't not reacting right or got their head down or something, you're focused for whatever reason. I wonder what's going on over there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, so sometimes I believe and see they're...
Well, sometimes, you know, I think they're having like a spiritual encounter with the Word. That's my first thought is, hey, maybe they're in
you
their
want
Word,
to give them the benefit
and then they and then they do the duck face and they start to snap the picture, and I'm like, they're not in the Bible, they're on Snapchat. Yeah. Like, what are they doing? All right,
but I mean, so for that being said, though, when I actually can there at Madrid and I see people, there's a few of them that you can say something that you really see them digging deep.
Sure.
And I even got one brother there's a church man that he always encourages me about every service or sometimes provokes me about what I said or something like that.
Yeah.
And said, man, what about this or what about that? Then he goes on a little bit deeper. Yeah. Or he would say, man, I was hoping you'd hit this or I was hoping you'd hit that. So, I mean, that's just encouraging to me.
Well, I know really one morning I said something, and it was something I knew. I really did. Like, it was what I did was I got my disciples mixed up. And I knew the disciple I was talking about, but I accidentally said Peter instead of, I think I was supposed to say John, and I said Peter on accident. And I knew the difference. I had five people come up to me after service to correct me. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, did I really say that? So I had to make I made a public statement the next week. I know.
I always say thanks for listening. I'm glad
you
called.
Got you, didn't I? Got you, didn't I? I just wanted to test you.
I'm just making sure you're listening. I know what's right. Oh, man. So,
that's good.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
I guess you preach enough, you don't get distracted anymore too much. Like, it takes a lot to distract me. Duck faces really do distract me still because it looks so goofy. I know this has nothing to do with spirituality.
And
but
we're getting ready to go to break.
We're going to break.
That.
We can't answer another question, but who in the world created duck faces? Like, who was the first one that took a selfie with a duck face? Who thinks that looks good? Who thinks that's neat?
Well, whoever did, apparently. Yeah. Hannah said it, boom, end of conversation. That's it. Oh, man.
It's kind of like along the questions of, well, I don't know. It's just, who's sitting before in front of a cell phone?
Well, Hannah's more younger, so she ought to know more about that than us.
The duck face is older than
my
Hannah.
My days of duck face are gone.
They're gone. It's over. Okay.
No more of that. That's just embarrassing. And those kids are going to look back one day and be so embarrassed of themselves.
Oh, I'm done saving the pictures. Am I embarrassing? I got, let's see. I forgot what it was. It was Eliza picture doing something funny. And I said, first boyfriend you have, I am showing him this picture. And then, so I'm Uncle Aaron to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I don't have any actual real nephews and nieces, right. But I do have, best friends. That's like brothers. Mm-hmm. So I'm Uncle Aaron to them. And one of them's got this little boyfriend. I think she's 13 or 14 now. And I said, I'm going to find some pictures just to show them. I said, I don't have uncles for anything else. But
I used to tease Maddie. When Maddie was a kid.
The white kid just sent me a picture.
Oh, my gosh.
That's classic right there. Save that now. Save that one.
Should that go on Box 2 Radio?
That may have to go there, man.
Is that Facebook worthy right there?
That's classic, man.
See, but that's
awesome.
The duck face I would rather see than someone who's actually trying.
Trying. Right. Yeah, yeah.
I would rather laugh at it and know someone's joking than see it as actually like that's them. Like,
they actually think that looks good.
Wow.
Thank you, Pastor Doyle.
Hey, that's awesome. We can do a whole conversation on vanity because we can bring up some scripture.
I'm kind of hoping I get a whole. If anybody wants to send a selfie in of a
send them
face,
to Aaron. Don't send them to me. I promise you, send them to Aaron.
Why is it
don't get deleted?
We have way too much fun when Josh is in the house.
Man. I'm sorry. I feel like I distract you guys, man. Sometimes.
We have so much fun. All the listeners love it. I get so many texts say, I love Tuesday morning. You all make me smile and laugh. All right. Well, we got to take a break here. Hard break. And I'm waiting for more duck faces to come in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. We'll be right back here after the break. All righty. We are back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. I was back in this studio. I'm in the producing room this morning. And I thank God that I went to the studio because they were making fun of me because I will share this on the radio. I don't care.
I didn't know nothing about it.
I brought it up.
Hannah brought it up. But Sunday morning was a great morning. We did a march around the sanctuary kind of deal.
Yeah.
It was unplanned. I can't tell you. It was in my sermon notes. I had no idea. It was just like I was just wanting to do the illustration up front to where we walk in one with God because – It's one thing to know about him. It's another thing to know him. It's one thing to love him and say, I love the Lord. But it's another thing to be in step with him.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of people get divorces nowadays because they say, well, I love my spouse, but we're just not in step. We're not together. You ever heard that? I heard that a lot.
Huh.
And I think sometimes we have that same mentality with the Lord. It's like, I love him, but I'm not stepping with him.
Right.
I'm going to do my thing. He can do his thing. But we two become one. And that's what he was trying to get us to realize in John chapter 17. So I was basing all my sermon off of that. And I was going to have us stepping together with the Lord, just me and Joe and Jacob up there representing Jacob got to be God this time. I usually make him be the sinner or something. This time I let him be God. And me and Joe's just we're just part of the body. Well, we started to march. And then we all got happy and we were shouting and we were dancing and I ripped my pants Sunday morning. While dancing, I ripped my pants. My wife said, Heather, Aaron, I think you have a hole. And I said, no, I don't. These are good jeans. She says, no, you really ripped your pants.
Wow.
And so don't ever tell me that my praise is not hard because I pray so hard Sunday morning and dance so hard.
That's awesome.
How many pastors can go home and say, I pray so hard at church that morning that I ripped my pants?
Yep, that'd be you, brother.
That was me.
You might have us all on that one.
Oh my gosh. Now I'm never going to be able to think. So Miss Gail, before worship, sometimes she'll send me, let her rip.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
Now I'm never going to think of it the same way.
It has an all new meaning this morning.
Look, it was probably a good thing I ripped them, though, because after eating Cattlemen's, I needed all this. I had to unloosen my belt a little bit. And anyways, I was trying to figure out that afternoon, where does gluttony start? Was it at the 20-ounce steak, or was it at the 2 appetizer, or was it at the lava chocolate cake after the meal? Where did the gluttony start?
Wow.
I felt like I needed to repent afterwards, but I didn't know what I needed to repent for.
Now, is that when you and Heather went out by yourself or whatever? Or no, did y'all go out by yourself?
Me, Heather, Hannah, and Ethan, all of us went out. It was Heather Feel Good Day.
Yeah.
And we all felt good after after the food. We all felt really good after the food.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it is Heather's feel-good day if I offered to take her to get coffee. Because I just, look, paying whatever, $4 or $5 for a glass of coffee to me is just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow.
I don't understand it. Uh-huh. I don't understand it.
Nowadays, it's more like $6-$7.
Well, don't tell me that. I don't know what she paid for it. Now, I really don't understand it. It just keeps going up.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so now we got some spiritual things to talk about.
We need to.
The cat out of the bag. We have Jeff Arrington coming on at 8:30. He's going to talk some kingdom thing, and I've done told everybody I got it out of the bag that I ripped my pants Sunday morning, but it was good. Like, it was, God was really good, and he's moving in a great, extremely awesome way.
Amen.
Explain John chapter 20, verse 17. Explain John chapter 20, verse 17.
Please read that, brother.
Yeah, if you got it.
All right, 20:17, John. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.
All right, so there has been a lot of speculation on this verse, and I've heard it preached several different ways. And I think we've even talked about it on here before about the touching and what are they actually discussing when Jesus says, or what's he meaning when he says, don't touch me. I've heard it said that that Jesus didn't want her to touch him because he hasn't put his blood on the mercy seat yet, and he don't want his blood tainted before he goes up. I don't find a lot of proof in that. For one, that would make Jesus's blood, to me, very weak, and it's not weak. There's nothing more powerful than his blood.
Yeah.
There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's wonder-working power in the blood, right? I think what he means here is, woman, don't hang on to me. Like, don't hang on to me.
I've got a touch. I've got a definition of touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it in my Bible here, but actually it says, do not cling to me.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Is what touch
That's
means.
What a lot of
That's what my, mine says, stop clinging to me.
Yep. Yeah. So.
And it's basically saying, you got to let me go. Like, you have a job to do. I've got a job to do.
I got you.
And got stop you. Clinging to me. I don't think it's nothing. I've heard preachers preach it as, he didn't want his blood tainted. I just don't think it has nothing to do with tainted. I think she's just excited to see him.
Yeah.
And I think she's just clinging to him. And he's kind of like, I got a job to do. Like, you go tell them I'm back. Yeah. I'm going to go do my thing. We'll meet up here in a little bit.
Yeah.
He wasn't really rebuking her, like, in a mean way. He just says, like, you know, there. It's like this. And I know I'm talking a lot. I'm shut up, guys. Let you all
talk.
No,
you're all right.
See, we sometimes are hard on Martha. In the whole Martha, Mary, where Mary's washing and Martha's laboring. But sometimes we got to do a Martha.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think either one of them is wrong. I just think for that moment, because he said, he was basically saying, she's doing the right thing because I'm here. But there's going to come a day where you need to be a Martha. And so I think there's moments that we need to be a Martha, and there's moments that we need to be a Mary.
Yes.
And I think that in this moment, she was trying to be a Mary and worship and cling, but he really needed her to be a Martha because he had a task for her.
That's good, brother.
And I think we have to be as sensitive to what the Spirit of God is. I guess you could even go back to your question earlier. We're not going to get back into sound, but it's the same thing. Like, sometimes we need to be a Mary who worships, but sometimes we got to be a Martha who makes sure the sound's not feeding back so other people can be a Mary.
I got you.
And so sometimes our Martha-ness, I don't know if that's a word, but I used it, is actually allowing other people to have their Mary moments.
I got you.
That's
also
good.
Also, when it said clinging, I was thinking as kids growing up, a lot of times when you see kids growing up, a lot of people, speculators say, they're clinging to their hip. Like, they never really want to grow up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a time of growing up. So listen, you know, it's time for you to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time for you to, you know, do the things that I've taught you, do the things that I've brought you out of, do those things. And so it's time for you to grow up and go do your thing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. One listener just asked if we had to answer the trivia question, and we did. It was Miss Gail. And I didn't even read the second trivia question because Mr. Pastor Dwayne Kidd's duck face had me wrecked. And so the first answer was Josiah. What king fatally wounded while fighting the Egyptians was brought back to Jerusalem in a chariot? It was Josiah, 2 Chronicles 35:23 through 24. I will read the second question at the next break.
Okay.
All right. Pastor DeWayne could have me rolling his duck face, so it got me messed up. But I do agree that I think in this area of Jesus saying, do not hold on to me, do not touch me, do not cling to me, it's more of an area of, you know, don't let me do my thing and you got a thing. Because he didn't rebuke her, really. He kind of did. I don't want to use a stronger rebuke. He just asked her not to touch him. But then he gave her a task, right?
Yeah.
Go tell them. Go tell them.
Yep.
This is why I don't want you to hang on. I need you to go tell them. And then where was he going to go? He was going to go do his thing too.
Wow.
And so I just don't think it has nothing to do with tainting the blood.
Even right before this, Brother Aaron, of course, I always like to go back a little bit.
Contextual.
But twice she was asked the question, why weepest thou?
Mm-hmm.
By the ones at the tomb. Then also again by Jesus in verse 15.
Yep.
It's like, why are you weeping? I told you this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, listen, I don't need you to weep. I need you to go. I need you to do your thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a time, there's a season of weeping.
Yeah.
And there's a season of reaping. So at this particular time, mm-hmm. I believe he proposed to Mary and said, listen, there's a time to weep, but it's your time to reap.
Yep.
So yeah. That's good. So, I can't help but thinking about just how this can relate to some of us who have lost a lot of people in our life, or sometimes when we're not viewing Jesus the right way or viewing God the right way, sometimes we think like he's going to leave. Like I'm not going to be able to experience him the way that I did. And I feel like she did. There had to be a level of emotion with the disciples, like, you know, imagine actually walking with Jesus.
Wow.
Like, I feel like they felt this grief. Even them knowing that he rose again, like, that he wasn't physically there with them anymore. Especially if you're a person who gets, like, attached easily. Because Jesus was their friend just as much as he was their God. And it's like, sometimes I think it even made me think about how, like, we have these moments with the Lord. We have these merry moments with the Lord sometimes in our walk. And sometimes they mean so much to us, and we cling on to that so much that sometimes we fear, are we ever going to be able to experience that again? And I think the Lord and Jesus wants to remind us that we can still have our Martha moments. We can still serve him, and he's never going away. Like, we still can have merry moments throughout our life, and we're going to keep having them. And we have to let the enemy stop, and our flesh, and even our trauma. I think our trauma can make us think, like, oh no, like, and just the human parts of us, like, oh my gosh, what if I never experience this again? What if I never get to meet with Jesus like I did again? But I think he's showing her, he's saying, like, you know, why weepest thou? Because he knows he's going to be able to meet with her again. The Holy Spirit is going to come. We're going to have a comforter, you know. But she didn't know that yet. And I think sometimes in our walk, we can be this Mary. Yeah. And we can think like, oh my gosh, like, where have you gone? Like, I want to meet with you again. But we have to rest and trust and know that he's always there, even when we don't feel him the same way that we did the last time.
Yeah.
Amen.
So it is almost like he's trying to get her to trust her a little bit. Like,
yes,
I need
you.
You have a task.
I like it.
I need you to trust me that I'm not going. I'm here. Like, I'm okay, Mary. I'm okay. And so it is a good question. I just I think we're on the right track.
Yeah.
On interpreting this text, and it's
me too.
I don't mean any offense to anybody who's used it as the whole, you know, taintedness or I don't want to taint. It just, I don't think that has anything to do with it at this moment. For one, you get in touch with Jesus's blood, you don't taint it. It changes you.
It changes you.
And so, because if we could taint his blood, then his blood was never sufficient. His atonement was never sufficient.
Yep.
And so, it's a good question. Thank you to who sent it in. There's another question on the table. Listener said earlier, and I never fit it in until now, have you ever been so amazed at a revelation the Holy Spirit gives you while preaching that it causes you to take a minute to remember when you were, where you were in your sermon? There's been definitely times, and I think sometimes that if you're not careful, people will interpret it as like arrogance, but I've said, hold on a second, I'm going to write down what I just said, because it was never in the books, never in the mind. It was just, it came to you by way of Holy Spirit, and you want to remember it yourself.
Yeah.
And I have written down what come out of my mouth, and it was never an arrogance thinking statement. It was literally like the Holy Spirit just basically said that, and I want to make sure I remember it. So I write it down.
Yeah.
Now I'm never going to go back and listen to my sermons. Honestly, it drives me nuts. I've done it a couple times for sake of quality issues and trying to figure out what we can do to make the recordings better, but it makes me nuts. So what about you, Josh? Have you ever,
I don't like listening to myself.
Have you ever kind of wrote something down or thought, man, I need to remember that?
Hey, I have, because, I mean, that's why I like taking notes. And even though that, I don't all the time go back in and look at my notes, but it helps me to write stuff down. And even if you remember, probably a couple months ago, you said, hey, what do you want to do about the program in the morning? And I sent you that video of a few things that I had written down in the past few months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, yeah, let's go with that one. So
I like that one.
I mean, it was just things that I do sometimes when Brother Billy's preaching or whatever. Or when somebody else is, or I hear something on the radio, you know, I kind of jot it down or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Go ahead.
And I'm sorry to bring it back to the Mary thing, but I get so excited. And, like, when I know something's coming from the Holy Spirit, and I'm just going to say for you two, if you ever need to remember something, just ask me, because I probably have all your words written down in my notebook. But sometimes, like, when I'm hearing, I don't know, I guess I just, my mind works weird. Sometimes I'm like, I feel like I have to take in every moment. Like, I have to soak it all in, because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what if this word is never spoken again? Like, what if this moment never happens again? And the Lord has had to work with me on, like, even greater moments than these will happen.
Yeah.
But sometimes when I feel his presence and I see him speaking something, like revealing something through a sermon, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to write every word down, because I don't want to forget this. But then I do feel him revealing, like, you think that is great? Like, I keep getting better. I keep revealing more. And I think sometimes, like, in our walk, we think, like, God, how could you get any better? Like, how could you get any better? How could you speak an even better of a sermon than this right here? Because sometimes I am, like, and I'm not saying this just to puff you guys up, but I mean, the Holy Spirit just gets me so excited, and it confirms things that he's already been speaking to me through you all. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord. But then he's like, you know, calm down. Like, I'm going to keep getting better. I'm going to keep speaking. I'm going to keep, you know, speaking. And so, I don't know. I kind of relate to Mary, I guess, in that sense.
Yeah. Good stuff. I love it. And I mean,
when you see people doing that sometimes, like really engaging and like writing stuff down, and like, I mean, because you, even Hannah, I've only known you a little bit, really known you a little bit here with the radio or whatever. But I mean, you know, it encouraged me to be you being younger and having the heart that you have. I mean, that's really encouraging to me. It really is. So I appreciate that, and to know that, you know, listening to stuff, growing and doing things, because we actually can grow through younger ones, and we grow through older ones, you know. So it's just, we're that's all true. About the body of Christ. So.
Yeah, and I get excited when I see people writing.
Yeah.
Because I know people's listening at that point.
Right.
And as teachers and preachers, you want to, You're giving that hopefully to edify and help build somebody up. And I feel sorry for anybody that takes notes when I preach, because I talk really fast and I don't pronounce half the words right. So there's it's like, you ever seen somebody shorthand? Well, I talk in shorthand. So I know what I'm saying, but I don't know if anybody else knows what I'm saying. Well, so
I remember Brother Ron, of course, you know, we would always like to take notes or whatever, but he would always tell the congregation when he was preaching, he would always say, now listen, if I say it twice, more likely it's probably a good thing to write down. That's what he would say.
Yes, it's, well, almost in scripture, like, if it repeats twice itself, then it's important. So to, I mean, stick out.
But for whatever reason, I've said that before during my preaching too. You know, one thing that Brother Billy does there at the church is, like, he'll be preaching or whatever, and he'll say something that'll, like, astound him, and be like, he'll look up to the Lord out of heaven and say, good preaching, Lord, because I didn't say that.
See, that's my favorite, is, like, I can tell when the Holy Spirit, like, my discernment, I can tell when someone is speaking from the Holy Spirit and when they're not.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like if we all come expecting to hear, we're going to hear.
Yeah.
Like, and amen. I think that's where I've kind of shifted in my walk, is, like, I used to just come to church and, you know, not really have that expectation. But now, like, wherever I'm going, I come with an expectation of, like, Lord, I'm meeting, like, I'm coming to hear from you. Like, I'm going to meet with you. I'm coming to get some revelation. And then he gives the revelation.
Yeah.
And no matter who's speaking, but there are certain times when certain speakers, and you all being two of them, I know that you all are hearing from the Holy Spirit. Well, because I know it's confirming in my spirit.
Well, it's got to be when I speak, because I get up there and go, help, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't have notes. I feel sorry for anybody. Like, I still love it when people come on the broadcast with us, because they're like, do you have notes? Do you have anything? I'm like, nope. You just got to go with the flow with me.
Wow.
I'm breaking people out of there. What did Hannah say earlier? Their comfort zones of, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, you have no 1, 2, 3, and 4 with me.
Well, I mean, I understand about the note thing, because even last week when we kind of filled in for you that day, you wasn't here. We used with Heather. And so when Hannah and also Brother Jacob was here, whatever, of course they had just seen that, went and seen about that deliverance or whatever. So, but I did jot a few things down the night before.
Well, I used to do notes.
So I was ready, but
anyway. I used to do notes, and I did notes for the sake of everybody else. I wasn't very good at following my notes, but it is easier when people fill in. But before we go to break and read our first question, I had a wonderful listener. I won't say names. They found from January 2000, 23 years ago, a picture of a duck face by none other than Josh Milburn himself.
Whoa. No way. Oh, my goodness.
I love it.
Oh, my Lord.
I have. Wow. Oh, I'm saving this picture.
Yeah, I cannot believe my wife done that to me.
I didn't say it was your wife.
Hey, you show me the picture. I ain't crazy.
Oh, man.
This is going on the homecoming business card.
Oh, man.
When I make a Facebook page for Jason and the Josh and Jason tour. I was thinking of Uncle Justin. the Josh and Jason tour, this could very well be the profile picture.
Wow. Man, oh, man. Yep. I'll see her later on.
A kiss. The duck face of. I didn't even know y'all. I didn't even know we did duck face back in January 2000.
Well, apparently, I didn't either.
You may have been the creator of it. Thanks,
Josh.
You
ain't kidding. Thanks a lot.
Did you say
2000? 2000.
That is my birth year.
Wow. Birth year?
Well, see, my daughter was born in 2001. So, anyway.
We have listeners asking if it's possible to blow it up for posters to hang on their walls.
Oh, no.
No.
Josh says no.
No.
I got the picture.
You blowed it up already. Man, let's get back to the Word of God. In the beginning.
Amen.
No, I'm just kidding.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Man. Hallelujah. Tuesday question number two, sponsored by Farm Bureau Insurance. What woman did Jesus say would have had her story remembered for doing a kindness to him? What woman did Jesus say would have had her story remember for doing a kindness to him? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back after the break here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.